Welcome to the Mutineer Chronicles, a gaming and role-playing podcast with a focus on the Iron Kingdoms RPG from Privateer Press. Welcome to Mutineer Chronicles and the great experiment.
The grand experiment of us returning?
Maybe. Also for us, you guys are going to get a lot of weird little noises tonight as we check this out, because we are testing out Skype, and you might hear us yell if we have something turned up louder than it should be, and we're going to be doing a lot of tweaking, and there might be a lot of weird edits. But we put the word out on Facebook, and we told people to call us, and this may be the worst idea we've ever had. But we're going to see. We're going to try it out. We're going to let people call in, and we're going to chat with them while we talk about other things.
Other things being what now?
We're going to just catch up, because we've been gone a while.
Yeah, it's been almost three months.
What we thought was going to be like, oh, yeah, we're back in the swing of things, got turned around, but that's fine, because I think we're all settled in now.
Yeah.
So
let's talk about what we're not doing.
What are we not doing? Playing
games.
IK.
Yeah. The Wednesday group.
The Wednesday group sort of dissolving.
Now, why is that? Tell everyone.
Not really dissolving. Part of it is I've got work stuff that is happening, and part of it is maybe group issues.
Are the minor.
One or two. It's not. I mean,
how many characters did you have? Were playing the Night Courier?
Oh my God! So we started a new portion of our campaign, and I let them. And we're playing a mercenary guild. So I said, hey, everybody can make new characters that are part of the guild, since your other characters are sort of
wanted by everyone and mass murderers.
Yeah, they're not looked highly upon by general society. So I told them, you know, go out, be part of this guild, and you'd be some of the new members there. So three of them came back. We had a new guy that decided to play, and he had a pretty good, solid idea on what he wanted to do.
The two sword wielding knight dude.
Yeah, and he wanted to be a knight of Morrow, and more or less like a badass Crix hunter.
Mm-hmm.
That's effectively what he wanted to do with his character, and we were like, cool, no problem, you can totally do that. And then he started playing. And two of the guys who didn't have quite as good of ideas, they just wanted to be knights, more or less. They thought it would be cool to be brothers that were knights. And one of them, I think, just wanted to be a knight because it did nothing more than allow him to do defensive strikes. And he wanted to try to capitalize on as many attacks as he possibly could. So he took, you know, he had defensive strikes, and he had a quad iron.
Oh, my God, yeah.
And it was just silly. I mean, that is just the best way to put it. It was just a little silly.
It was very silly, from what I heard.
And he also said, oh, yeah, and I'm starting out with a quad iron that is
Mechanica quad iron
that has all these different bells and whistles. And I'm like, I don't think you have enough money to do that. He's like, well, sure I do. I've got all this. And I'm like, no, you don't get to start with that.
Mm-hmm.
So we put the kibosh on that, let them play. But they still did, you know, still did fine. They were heading to Crix, and then we just haven't had a chance to play. They're going to be in Dreg's Mouth for a while. And I had some cool storylines set up for that. So, but we've not had a chance to play since then.
Yeah, I can understand. My Sunday IK group, during this time that we've been off, I've been in the middle of opening a business, my yoga studio, and I did so much of the construction myself. It was like 15 hours a week. I mean, I would walk into the store once in a while, and Carl's like, you look like you're just beat to shit.
Yeah.
I effectively was at points. But that game kept going for a little while, and someone else wanted to run, and I took the opportunity to pause my campaign. But they were in the middle of pretty much, the group got ran out of town. They're outlaws. And they got ran out of town by a rival gang, effectively, that now controls the town, and they're slowly but surely trying to take it back over. So they're doing Grand Theft Auto Caspia, except with less hooker running over and taking their money.
That's no fun.
Well, if one of them played a long rider, sure. Hey,
Are you trying to say trolls are the only ones that run over hookers?
Yes, they are.
With their buffalo.
Get on my buffalo. Go behind an alley, see the buffalo rock for a while. She gets out, runs over.
Thump, 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 thump. Collect your money, go.
Yep. Oh, Grand Theft Auto. They're coming out with another one now.
Yeah, I think I saw that. I don't know. Don't care.
Yeah, kids in their game.
Anyway, so we put the call out here. We're going to see if anybody calls in. It's about 7:30 our time. And somebody, you know, I just put it up a few minutes ago, so we might get anybody, which is fine.
Good.
Carl
wants to talk to you people.
I still plan on, we put out a long time ago that the guy that won our book, Robert Shepherd, who's from Australia, told him that we'd want him on the show. Now we finally got our Skype set up going. We can hopefully make this happen. So,
if Robert Shepherd still listens to our show.
That's true, if anybody still listens to our show. But,
well,
go ahead.
So tell us what the big plan for War Machine Weekend is, since that's about to start up. So we'll do podcasts for a few weeks, and then Carl will start getting busy with War Machine Weekend.
No, I've been busy with War Machine Weekend.
You're wearing the shirt even.
It's about the only shirts I've got left. No, we've been doing a lot of pre-planning because this is our 10th anniversary. We've got a lot of stuff going on. We are moving to a different hotel. Thank you to the last hotel who tried to dick us over.
But they tripled the price on you?
They more than tripled it. They did a lot of stuff. It was just silly. One thing led to another. We're at a new hotel. We're at a place that is it's just going to be better in the long run. So we're good. Let's just put it that way. But we are now in the process of getting. We got our first call,
oh,
and amazingly enough, it is Private Trip Press Royalty. Can we call you Royalty, Simon?
If you'd like, I won't stop you. I probably shouldn't encourage it.
All right.
How's it going, guys?
Good. How you doing?
Good. How are you, buddy?
I'm going to turn your sound a little up.
I saw your post. I was just finishing up a different project until I call in and say hi.
Sweet.
So tell everyone what you do for Privateer Press.
I am the community coordinator and one of our staff writers.
I told Simon once that he was the bravest man I knew because right before the Iron Kingdoms book came out, he was sort of moderating a thread on RPGNet. I was like,
oh, no.
That is not a place where I'd want to go moderate a thread.
I wouldn't say I was moderating. I would say I was engaging. But
you were engaging. You did a very good job because that place can be dangerous.
That place is toxic, in my opinion.
There are certainly some interesting views over there, but I like RPG communities in general. So, I post over there, as a fan and also as a privateer representative. Right?
Sweet.
Right on.
So you got any cool tidbits you can slip to us?
I was wondering how long that was going to take and which of us would do it first. Tell us secrets.
No, he doesn't have to tell us secrets. Just tease us.
I spent the day reviewing a piece of fiction for Skull Island Expeditions focusing on the Protector of Menoth. So that was pretty cool. Pretty excited to see that come out.
Nice.
But other than that, you're going to have to wait a little while longer. We got book two. Wrapping that up, we should have more news on that pretty soon. But I really just called to say hi, and I
thank you.
The Hamlet Test software.
Right? Yeah, definitely. Thanks for calling. We appreciate it.
Will you be coming down to War Machine Weekend?
I don't think I will be this year, but I'm sure other staff will be there.
Oh, we know this. Some others will be there. We didn't know if you'd be one of the lucky ones.
No, I'm actually going to less shows in general these days because I'm so busy at the office with RPG community stuff and various other projects, so my travel time is kind of cut down, but I'll be at Lock and Load and I'll be at Gen Con, so are you guys going to be at Gen Con?
We will definitely be. I will be at Gen Con. Dustin is taking the year off.
Yeah.
Right on. Well, I guess I'll see you there.
Yeah, definitely.
Otherwise, that'll be my next show is Lock and Load.
Nice.
Sounds great.
Are you going to Lock and Load, Carl?
No.
Why?
I've got a daughter that got braces.
Oh.
Cut into the travel fund. Let's just put it that way.
This is why I don't have
kids. I got stuff to review.
All right. Thanks for calling, man.
Take it easy,
buddy.
Take
it easy.
Bye. Well, for a first call, I wouldn't call that terribly bad.
That was not too shabby. We got our first call through from Simon, and now we will go through and actually turn off this notification that that somebody hates. So we'll continue talking now.
So
we've got our first call through, and hopefully when I listen to this, that sounds pretty decent.
Right. So you were saying about War Machine Weekend, something about how painful it was or tough it is. How busy
it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work.
Now, we've got the hotel rooms. Everything's reserved. People can start getting their rooms reserved and everything.
Yeah, you can. We actually have a link on the Facebook page for War Machine Weekend that you can actually go and get hotel rooms. I know a number of people have already. Come here around May 1st, we should have a pretty decent idea of all the events. I mean, I literally still have people calling me and texting me going, hey, we need events. You know, we want this event. We want this event. So we're trying to work some stuff in. I just talked to a guy on Facebook, and I haven't told Tim this, because Tim is actually the one who's working with us trying to get some of this stuff, you know, organized and scheduled, since I'm doing more of the back-end thing. But we are, I think, going to have an Unbound tournament.
Nice.
I think we're doing, our goal is to do 30-ish eight-man scrambles, and then our normal run of events, which is just going to be insane. On top of that, we're doing Iron Gauntlet.
Are you seriously doing Iron Gauntlet? Nice.
I'm not playing it, but we are hosting an Iron Gauntlet qualifier.
Okay.
That'll be on Saturday.
Nice.
So, but there'll be other stuff going on, too. Like, if the hyper-competitive stuff's not your thing, then you've got other things that you can definitely do.
So, we also have a lot for the IKRPG going on. Carl left me and a Tsunami in charge of the IK section of the year. And we've decided to hold a game mastering competition for IKRPG. We will write up an adventure which you and a number of people we will assign to you play through. The players will rate you, so be sure to bring snacks and bribe your players as much as you can, because we'll give you we'll give prizes to people who place well or do well in the game mastering part. We will also give the players options to win fun little things like dice and maybe some stuff like that. Stu and I and maybe one other person will be running a storyline we call Two Sides of the Same Crown. It's a story event happening in Fort Bourne during the Wrath Book when Crix and Cawdor and Signar were all there just eating the town up, destroying it. And you will be mercenaries working for one of the three factions. We hope, and you'll get to see it from certain sides and affect each other a little bit as we're doing this whole deal.
Is this leading into your LARP?
My LARP. Yes, we're going
to... IK LARP.
That would be amazing. Except everyone would come in that stupid steampunk outfit stuff where they just took some cogs and spray-painted them brass and stuck them to their shoulders, and I'd have to get real upset with that.
So...
Talk of the Kingdom, Signar Public Radio.
Yeah.
That's really what we should change our podcast name to.
Signar. Nice.
But then we'd have to talk
now
about...
Now, I'm sitting here monitoring Facebook, so in case we get anybody making comments about wanting to be on, we can sort of chat with them on there, too. And
sure.
You said Stu wasn't going to call in tonight, but yet he's monitoring us on Facebook because
he
liked the post.
He has a freaking... He has a smartphone like the rest of us.
Put Skype on and have him call us. Damn it.
Well, here. I'm not bothering him. He's in the middle of his own game.
Yeah, whatever.
I know.
Is he running the game? Then
maybe.
Why is he on his phone?
No, he's playing Troll Buffet.
Oh, God dang it.
He just finished that model. He's going to play that for a good long while. I told him when he hits Epic version, he needs to get a tough low, put rocket packs on him, so he can ride around on that.
Stu wants to know if we can talk fantasy football.
Nope, Stu can suck my dick.
Stu, here's your fantasy football talk for the week. Tomorrow night, NFL draft. Watch it, then comment back, and we'll talk next time.
Yeah, just don't talk to me. Leave me out of this.
We'll get Dustin on that boat before too long.
Tell them about our War Machine draft.
Oh, yeah. So we've decided as a thing that at War Machine Weekend...
Stu's calling.
Well, tell him he's calling the wrong damn phone number.
Well, you tell him about...
All right. So we're going to do... I'm gonna sucker all these other podcasts in, and we're going to do a War Machine draft at War Machine Weekend where you can draft anything associated with War Machine that you want. So... whether it be players or models or whatever. And I have a sneaking suspicion it's going to be done around a lot of drinks. So if you want to come and just hang out and have fun with us and BS, that's probably when it's going to happen. Anyway, so Dustin has left me because he's talking to Stu on his cell phone. Get back in your chair.
Okay, so Stu's putting Skype on his cell phone right now so he can talk to us from a restaurant.
That's awesome.
Yeah, hopefully it's a good restaurant.
That's fine. We'll talk. We'll chat with Stu for a second, and then we'll...
That's if he figures it out.
Yeah. I trust Stu.
He's fine. So you told him about the draft, right?
Told him about the draft.
Awesome.
So we're expecting, you know, first-round draft pick, first choice. It's probably Jake Van Meter.
Yeah, but you have to hope you can get Vail to go with him, or it's kind of a bad day.
No, he's fine.
No, just don't get stuck with Absolute.
As long as people don't cock-block other Legion casters, he'll be fine. They'd have to cock-block all of them.
Yeah.
He's pretty good, I hear.
Yeah. He's kind of a thing.
Anyway, so we've gotten a little off topic.
What did we have?
We're talking about War Machine Weekend. We're just testing.
We're going to do the Fort Bourne event. It's going to be awesome. And then I'm running for those of you that are Something Awful Goons, I'll do the Goon game like I did last year, which apparently is somewhat infamous, except that I recorded it and Carl lost it.
I think it got stolen.
Why don't you go? Oh, yeah, the thief was your daughter.
And then my daughter stole it and then...
Erased it.
I think she did, but she won't pony up the SD card.
You're an adult. You can't get a... What else? 10? 10-year-old?
Beating kids does not look highly upon these days, from what I hear.
Hang them from a tree. They're playing.
Anyway.
No, that's fine.
Anyway.
It would do it to your daughter. She's sweet.
Sometimes. She is 10 and prepubescent and lives in a world of high drama.
Does she?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Anywho, so...
So what's your plan for War Machine Weekend?
My plan is to sit in a giant chair and drink as people come walking in and they kiss the ring and go on in and play and then I'm done.
Is that the real plan?
That's my goal.
All right, everyone. We have to put up monies for fun so we can get Carl a big inflatable bouncy chair.
No, I want an Iron Throne.
You're not getting the Iron Throne.
I want something similar.
Why?
I'll take wood. I don't care.
The wooden Iron
the
Throne?
The wooden, yeah, just normal chair throne thing. A nice high back chair. One of those, like,
but what about an inflatable one? You can kind of bounce
no,
in.
No, I want one of those nice, cushy, high-back chairs that you put in front of a fireplace that you sit there and have a nice drink and smoke a cigar and call it good.
Call it good.
Call it good, good.
All right. Other than that, I'm excited for Machine Weekend. It should be a very good time. I'm looking forward to seeing everyone again. And we're going to be at DICON.
We will be at DICON.
We're going to DICON.
Should we record at DICON?
Yeah. If anyone wants to come.
We'll have, like, all the Iowa guys are usually there, and the Springfield, Illinois guys are there, and, of course, the St. Louis guys. And it'd be really sweet if we could record at that Mexican restaurant.
The Idrian?
Yeah, as Matto calls it, the Idrian, because it's got a giant Aztec guy painted on the side of it. And for some reason, he just assumes it's an Idrian. Is that racist?
It might be a little racist.
Okay.
But we don't see Matt as much anymore, so it's fine.
Nah, he's busy, too.
He's busy playing SimCity with a real city.
Yeah, that's probably a good way to put it.
So,
things happening in the IK world. We'll talk about this in between other people calling, because we might have some other people calling in real soon.
Yeah, I've seen the post. So, the new book's about to come out. Of God, Kings, and Men or something
no,
like that?
No, it's going to be a while.
Oh, well, what's
They're
a
while? They're wrapping dude? It up. Gen Con, maybe? Maybe.
That's not that far off.
It seems like forever. It may even be a little later than that.
No, I bet they'll have it by Gen Con. They'll just do the pre-release 200 copies and make us all fight for it again.
Yes. Man, that was not fun.
That was amazing.
It was fun hanging out with everybody at first.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was fun bribing people to stand in line with us to get extra copies. It was not fun. Once we were there and heard the bitching and moaning, and to be honest, a lot of people have pretty decent reasons to complain.
Right.
But it was still sort of a bear to deal with.
It was a good time. Come on.
It was fine. I was fine because I got my shit. I don't care.
I got Hyperion. I got my book. That's all I needed.
I walked out of there with, what, like 5 books?
I had 3. Did you have 4? I think you had 4.
I had 4 or 5.
Yeah.
We used one for a giveaway.
Mm-hmm.
Other ones went to a lot of people who were later in line who didn't get one, and I felt bad, so I went ahead and sold them one.
Right.
A couple people for here in town that didn't get to go. Ninja shopping for them. Yeah, it was tough.
Yeah. But so, well, the new book will be out soon. But they're keeping us well fed with Full Metal Friday.
Full Metal Friday is might be one of the cooler things that they've done for. I keep saying that they've done. I don't want to say innovated, but they've done some nice little things. I'm just going to go call that up on the computer since we've got it open here.
Using the power of technology to bring up little bits of information. If you're not familiar with Full Metal Friday, they're pretty much just doing maybe a four-page update to the game. A few weeks ago, they released the Texas Race and the Raider Career.
Yeah. Back-to-back. Like, one week was the race, and 1 week was the career, which is really sweet.
I'm a little surprised they did that like that, but...
Satixis were a playable race in the old game, weren't
they?
I
know,
they?
But they're, yeah. No.
Yes.
I don't remember.
I'm pretty sure they were.
Whatever.
There was a lot more race options in the old game when the first book came out.
Right.
So. Hey, look, there's an insider I haven't read yet. Hey, look, they got a nice little link here off to the side of the page, so Full Metal Fridays. But yeah, I mean, it's just a nice way.
It's an adventure. It's a career update. It's
just more options, and it's just good. Anytime a company is going to give you more options, that is shows that they're throwing a little effort behind it and not just letting it dwindle.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't think it's any secret that I've said before that I really like the Dresden Files RPG,
mm-hmm.
but there's a lot of people who just look at it and go, "Oh, well, they're not doing anything with it, so whatever." But, and I can see where certain companies may not want to put a lot of effort into doing the same stuff over and over, but there's so much material they can do for IK that, and this is the perfect venue for it.
And see, here's what I don't understand about people get upset about that. You have your books, you have what you need to play and run a game. Why do you need more? More is nice. Don't get me wrong, there's a whole series of commercials about getting more and more and more, blah, 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 blah. Why do you be upset that They're not putting out any more stuff for you? It's up to you to make whatever you want in the game. That's what I just do not understand, is that I don't need a game system to be supported. Once it's out and there's no major glitches or anything, okay.
Just roll with it.
Yeah, just have fun with your game
as
it is. You can be creative and come up with stuff if you want to do. That's why I think the Dresden Files is fine. The way that book is written is that they quite literally go, it's everything you want it to be. We don't want to have to define it for you.
And exactly.
And you know what? Iron Kingdoms, I think, can be in that same setup. It's nice that they're giving us other stuff, but you could make a Statixis career.
It's actually a topic that I wouldn't mind talking about.
What's what we're doing right now?
Well, sort of a subtopic of that is the big thing with Dresden is you get a ton of world building.
Mm-hmm.
And in IK, I feel sort of at times where I don't have that.
Mm-hmm.
Because you feel like, okay, we're going to play in this setting, and we're just going to sort of do what it says. So do you think there's enough for you to do significant world building within the IK and not...
Okay, let me ask a question. What books do I have access to?
To do your world building?
Sure.
I would say, I mean, you've got obviously all the IK books.
All the old ones?
You've got the world book and all the old ones for material.
Then yes.
Okay.
I mean, that right there is more material than fourth edition Dungeons & Dragons gave in their first release.
And for background material.
For background material. Sure. And games like that just started up right out the gate. It's just your willingness to put that time and effort into it to make a world, to make a setting, to name things,
so
to make up forests, IOs, whatever.
No, that's fine, but do you... use the IK game as a tool to build a completely new world, or do you use it to do something new within the regular setting?
I would do both. I could easily take all the careers and everything and use them in another world, make another world up for it. Their mechanic system is very, very good.
No, the mechanics are solid. That's not what I'm saying.
But you're talking about if I wanted to take all the careers and stuff like that and make another world around it, or what?
Not necessarily. Partially. Like my thought is to use it to come up with, you know, like. Now we've obviously taken towns, existing settings, and messed with them.
Sure.
Really messed with them in certain cases.
Blown them up. Tore them down.
But what about adding a new center of civilization? Like, say, you want to make a something new where like a new something on the outpost of or the edge of civilization, and you're going to say, okay, it's a, for lack of a better term, we're going to do a new mercenary outpost.
Sure.
We're going to call it a new name. We're going to come up with all the new traits. It's going to be sort of the Mos Eisley, very similar to, I'm blanking out on the Turning and Crag. Turning and Crag.
Okay.
Where a lot of the, you know, the Steelheads and Magnus and all that. But it's a place where we've got control, so somebody doesn't come into the game and go, I've got this preconceived notion that
right.
this has to happen. Do you think that the majority of the players will be okay with that?
Why not? Why not? Why wouldn't players
I don't know.
Be
it's just,
okay
it's,
with that?
It's just I'm playing devil's advocate here.
Okay. Yes, I think most people are okay with it because you take and put whatever you want to in the world. That's part of role-playing and stuff like that. Especially on the DM side of it, you go, I want to do this fun thing where Ios and Scorn are allies and fighting against whatever that's this magical force that's offside that is not part of the basic world setting and stuff like that. That could be really neat.
Yeah.
It's done with every game.
Well, I know, but I mean, when you have games, and I guess this is a real core of the question, when you have games that have a very deep setting,
mm-hmm.
and this is another example would be L5R.
Right.
L5R is a game that I've always wanted to play. Never played it. Always wanted to, but I've always felt intimidated by the background material.
Right.
I don't think Iron Kingdoms is at that point yet.
Nope.
But it's got a lot.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a lot going.
But Iron Kingdoms is written a little differently. Iron Kingdoms is writing in all of its stuff where you, they encourage you to play with it and look at it and see what can happen with it. The people that wrote LL5R seems like this is how it is. It has to be structured like this because they are trying to make it all make a certain amount of, I don't know, world sense. I mean, it's also because they used to have tournaments based off of their card game that would determine what happened to the
sure.
world. And so they would have to write some pretty narrow defining stuff that couldn't allow for you to jimmy or mess around with it or it threw A, B, C, D off. Uh-oh, Carl's getting drunk now.
No, I'm just having one.
Like I said, Carl's lightweight.
No, I'm just boring tonight, and I got to drive home. But, I find, like, when we started playing our game,
mm-hmm.
and we had a guy who is brand new and was doing things that a Midnight should not be doing, and it's not playing. It was driving me nuts.
Are you talking about Homero?
Yeah. And just how I was playing in the story, because it was like, okay, this doesn't make sense. The Midnights wouldn't do this, they wouldn't do that, why are you doing it this way? And it was just sort of gnawing at me. And then as I went on, I was like, you know what, fuck it, I'm going to let it go,
mm-hmm.
and we're all just going to play and have a good time.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to hold to my preconceived notions on how things should be as tightly.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess, do you think that those preconceived notions keep people from doing as much world building with the IK
yes.
as with other stuff?
I know it does, because I did the same thing with, Forgotten Realms for a long time. I read so much Forgotten Realms material and all this stuff. It's like, no, you can't do this because this information that the players don't know about, and you're telling them, no, they can't, or it's bothering you, and that doesn't make the game as fun for you or for the players. So it's just a point of letting that go and just letting the players explore the world and, you know, okay, say they want to set fire to a city. You shouldn't say no because this major badass over here will kill you. Okay, set fire to the city. Have fun. Oh, now you have this major badass after you who wants to kill you.
Yeah.
You want that sword? Okay, you stole the sword that was being worked on a blacksmith. Now you have Vilmont's sword. Guess who's coming to get his sword back? Right.
Oh, why would you steal Vilmont's sword?
Because he's a Minoth.
He's the only good Minoth out there.
Well, he needs to do something better than just kind of wandering around being a badass. Go take over
or
something.
He basically guards the Harbinger.
We.
You say we. You go fuck with them.
No. I don't live in... I'm not Matt 9.
At SOB's Matt 9. He will mess your world
up. He'll die to range attacks like everything else does.
Oh, have you read his rules?
Come on. I have. It's been long. I don't care. Every time anyone plays him, I just kill him in melee.
All right, anyway.
That's it. Sentinels, wham.
Anyway. Vilmon is another character that used to see a lot in Mark 1. Mm. You don't see as much in Mark 2, and I don't know why, because I really dig him.
I've been reading a lot of the old books.
That's another awesome character to integrate into your campaign.
I think him just showing up, doing something, then leaving is the better part. We've had this talk before about using the big names in the world in your game, which I've even had you guys run into the big names. They didn't dominate or anything. They were just doing what they needed to do
manipulating people, which is fine.
Which is awesome.
You don't want the big names messing with the campaign too much, other than give direction maybe.
Yeah.
And be like supportive cast at best.
Right, because okay, you have to go into a battle and there's Michael Kreos. Well, yes, you're Michael's bitch and let him kill everything. Michael Kreos, however you want to call it. But I just don't think... That's why I'm glad they haven't put stats for a lot of those characters into the IKRPG. They haven't mathed them over and everything.
No, but I mean, you could do it.
Oh, I've done it. I've just seen if I could do it.
Yeah.
And Kreos is like 100-something, 60-something points.
Yeah. But, part of me really, really likes the world-building of a lot of games. I don't like necessarily be stuck in with, which is weird because of how much I like the Iron Kingdoms and how much of my preconceived notions I had to
get past. And you enjoyed the game better, right? Once you got past it.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, you stopped playing as much and you started running.
Well, yeah. But no, it's still like after a while, I was like, okay, this is just the way it is. I'm not going to ruin somebody else's fun by continually going, don't do that, don't do that, don't do that.
Well, to be fair, okay, good. And to be fair, I don't think he wasn't acting like not a Menite. He wasn't acting like one of the Southern Protectorate of Menoth Menites. There are Menites all over the damn
place. But he was also completely clueless to the setting.
Good. Let the guy learn it.
Yeah, yeah.
Who cares if he's like the clueless Menite? Maybe he had a head injury. I don't know. I had an Iosin in one of my games that he walked around with two pistols going, pow, pow, pow. He's like Yosemite Sam. And the group just decided there was one point he had a head injury, and that's just what happened to that elf.
So we're going to start this campaign where Crix has taken over all of Signar.
Oh, God.
The Signar royalty has shacked up with Leto has in a act of desperation. Leto has wedded
Vaynar.
Empress Anne.
Okay.
All the Signar, and now you've got a giant front.
It's the big united front against...
against Crix.
Crixnar.
And you've got the Protectorate who are...
I'm going to call them Signasty.
Who are... I'm just coming up with this off the top of my head.
No, go with it. Roll it.
You got the Protectorate who are basically...
They've had to have won the Northern Crusade.
No, they're fucked.
Why?
I see them as resistance.
They got their own.
Severus has been killed.
Oh, good.
Garrick Voyle is killed.
He's been dead for a while.
Well, this is in my own little.
You hated when they killed Garrick Voyle.
God, I love Garrick Voyle.
You're the only.
When he was bitch slapping around
Stryker,
and then the Harbinger had to come in and save his ass. Whatever. Anyway.
Just so much hate.
No, he was such a good. He was it such was, a good.
I'm
bad
so glad
guy.
They killed somebody in that world, other than just random soldier A.
They killed Harbinger.
Yeah, and then she came back. She suffered the comic book death. Testament had the better comic book.
Denegra died.
Being dead in Crix doesn't count for anything. She got cut in half with a spear.
Was it? No, it was a nightmare. I thought that.
No, Haley did it. Used her spear. Held Denegra.
Oh, it did? Okay. Well, whatever. Right. God, it's been a long time since I read that. So you've got the Protectorate as working as sort of...
Les Resistance.
Resistance, because everything else has just gone to shit.
What happened to... the French. Lael.
You have Zarkova making allies with Legion. Zirkova. Wow. Zirkova is now
a blighted
warcaster for
God or for Legion.
Yeah, warlock for Legion. There we go.
That'd be awesome.
That's sort of cool.
You know, it's even that would be badass.
And now she's playable.
She's playable now. If she had an arc note, she'd be amazing.
Let's see. Io, what's Io's doing?
Get the fuck out, just pointing guns. Complete isolationism again. What the shit?
Guarding their borders even more
so. Because Scorn's now in their borders, according to Gargantuans. Which, I understand that wanting to get them inside Ios's borders and Ios having to deal with stuff at home. I'm not a military man. I was. But I don't think storing explosive ammunition right next to your fucking gate was the smartest thing anyone has ever done in a military force ever.
Whoops.
And then a mammoth falling on it.
Whoops.
Doot-doot-doot-doot-doot. It's just because mammoths are bullshit and broken and Scorn didn't need them.
Anyway. So, do you take that? Like, if you were going to, like...
I say Ios as a country has gone and they're not doing the... They're just doing wandering refugee thing.
Gypsy elves.
Yeah, but they've gone back east, like to find their gods. They're going back to the Skard where it all happened. So while Scorn was throwing all their military at Ios in the west, Ios just left and went and just ransacked Scorn.
Okay, what about trolls?
They're still fucked because they never get any better.
What about Circle? Circle wouldn't let all that happen without a big fight.
Oh, it was yeah.
Circle would be.
Throwing down what force they had. Circle and Troll's ally, finally.
Scorn and Crick's ally?
No.
Why
would Scorn and Crick's do that?
I don't know.
Because Scorn's all about, you know, the souls going to the void and things like that. And if the souls don't go to the void... Remember, Crick's likes to put everyone else's souls into their stuff and power their things. And they like the Immortals and the Exalted Court and things like that. I don't think they would get along. They could get along, but I doubt they'd get along super happy. But I like the idea of Ios just going east, fucking up Scorn and trying to fix the stairway so they could try and get the god thing situated.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Because that's where it is. The Scorn Empire is right across the Great Scar.
Hmm.
Which is from the bridge collapse. Like, Skyra woke up and said, we gotta go. Nisor sacrificed himself.
Who else are we thinking? Who else are we missing? Mercenaries? Mercenaries are thrown in with...
Mercenaries are just doing what mercenaries do.
Yeah, but at that time, they'd be, like, totally about surviving. Yeah. Hey, Stu's calling my line now.
Ooh, six. Oh, yeah, because my phone died. So, do we got Stu coming? That's fine. Yeah, I think we've got Stu coming on here in a minute. Stu Nami.
I hope he was trying to call my Skype. Not the show Skype.
Yes, our show does have a Skype. Tell him what the Skype is.
Skype.
I think if this works out, we're going to do this more often. I kind of like it.
The Skype is the Mutineers. Just one big word, no space.
Yo ho ho.
And I'm going to put my phone down.
You know what? No, you know who? What actually happened? The trolls didn't. The trolls and minions allied, and now it's Lord Carver and Madrak, and Horluck forming like a, or no, Rask forming like a triad leadership council thing for the trolls.
That's sort of cool.
I like that idea. And we've got Stu calling.
Stu Nami. I'm gonna answer this.
I'm gonna hit the answer button.
I hear Tim in the background.
Oh, Lord.
Stu?
Yeah, I'm on. I mean...
You're on.
You're live on the air.
All the way live, as the kids say. Some kid must say that somewhere.
Stu, can you hear us okay?
Yeah, I can hear you. What's going
okay.
On?
Not much. What are you up to?
I can hear someone say
that. Was that AK?
Yeah, that is it. I got AK, Josh Salter, and Tim Simpson here.
Wow.
First-time callers?
No, that's not true. It's long-time waiters.
But, you know, we had actually a really interesting question about the NFL draft.
Who are the Chiefs going to take with their first-round pick?
I'm going home. Screw this damn podcast. No, Stu, we're going to do a War Machine draft.
We're going to do War Machine draft at War Machine Weekend where you can draft any... any model
and player
or anything, or even players or personalities in the whole game. So
can
we're.
Can I draft Chris's table?
You can draft what?
That's my, like, can I draft Chris's table? Because that's my top pick for machine.
You can draft Chris, and then you would get the table and get his skills. So Explosivo could be a draft pick. But would you take? Would you just take Jake Van Meter?
And Vale.
I don't know. This sounds kind of.
Or would you draft Hollywood?
Oh, I would so draft Hollywood for the comedy effect.
I would draft Hollywood just so I could hang out with him.
Yeah.
Can I draft Hollywood in a non-sobriety pool?
Sure.
I feel like that's just too in.
I mean, you can draft him, you know, however you want him.
You're guaranteed a certain point of spread with Hollywood and non-sobriety.
Well, you're also a Hollywood drunk or not
is good.
We're going to all draft Hollywood, and then I'm going to come up with some mysterious white powder on Friday night, and we're going to watch it. that was a little cruel. I'm sorry.
All right. So, Stu, Iron Kingdoms,
yes.
What are you doing right now?
Right now, we are working on Tim Simpson, T-Simps.
T-Simps.
Simp Dog.
We're working on a low-level campaign where I've got a bounty hunter investigator, Troll Buffett, on the case.
Does his buffalo have jets?
No, we're playing that for the epic version. I'm going to make him a long rider, attach Minuteman jump packs to the rear flanks of the buffalo, and that's the epic.
So it gives it leap. Buffalo charge leap, flamethrower
yep,
arm.
Cav charge leap.
Nice.
Yes.
So no, I had an actual question for you guys here for the show.
Okay.
What's up?
What is right now? What are each of your favorite careers and why?
Oh, Lord.
Do you want me to answer
me
to answer?
Go for it. I'll pick one here in a minute.
I really think investigator.
You like investigator?
It is not a class that would have called out for me before I really looked into it, but you can do so much stuff with investigator.
Right.
I mean, it is really sweet, and nobody will ever freaking get the jump on you.
Oh, an intelligence-based investigator.
Well, you've got what is it, that supernatural perception BS.
Oh, yeah.
That makes, you know, you're going to be pretty high up in the initiative order. It's going to be hard for people to sneak up on you. Plus, I mean, it's just you got a lot of good utility and nifty combat. But, you know, I played that, what was I playing, Investigator Bounty Hunter?
Yeah.
Yeah, is that what you're playing?
Yep, I'm playing a skilled Investigator Bounty Hunter.
Yeah, isn't that? Well, I was playing an intelligent Investigator Bounty Hunter. And,
ooh, that's not bad.
And I really, really liked it. But I think the game lets you focus on a lot of those other stuff because even if you're playing an intelligent whatever, you can still be decent at combat.
Right.
And you don't feel like you have to be
in your career
out
by
of it.
Itself is decent at combat.
Yeah.
There's some careers that are just a little bit more, and when you double down on them, that's all you do, though.
Yeah. But it let me open up and do a lot of neat things. So that's what I would pick. Dustin, what's your choice? Let's go flip flop.
Let's go frip frogging. I don't know. My favorite career right now. Oh man, the one I keep thinking of is Explorer. Isn't that one?
Explorer. That's one that I would really like to pursue.
I think Explorer is amazing. It's so useful. It's very similar that it's investigator kind of things, but you also have a tendency to deal with some of the weirder nature stuff a little bit more, like you get the ability to do more damage.
One of the coolest
hunter and stuff like that.
Yeah, one of the coolest classes in the old book, or I don't know if it was a prestige class or what, but they almost had like a monster hunter class, didn't they?
That was a prestige class.
Was it?
Yeah.
And that was something, you know, like, because that was sort of like you, because they had so many cool monsters in Monsternomicon, that was something that I always thought would be really sweet to try out.
Stu, what's your favorite?
Oh, my favorite, personally, right now, I really have been kind of looking at Mage Hunter going, oh, that might be kind of...
That's my second pick.
Can you play a Mage Hunter without being an Iosan dick, though?
No, fuck you.
Oh, yeah. I would actually love to play a Menite Mage Hunter, actually. I think that'd be actually pretty neat.
That would take some hand-waving, just because they put the prerequisite Ios race only on that.
Maybe he converted.
I bet no. Yeah, that's just what an elf's going to do.
If you consider it, the Menite, the strict interpretation of Menite theology would
interpret that any kind of natural-born sorcery is a dark gift and would need to be hunted down.
No, no, I agree.
So you can actually kind of justify a human Menite mage hunter. You can kind of justify it, I think.
Except Menoth's not killing them. They're capturing and turning them into vassals and making them ancillary attack their jobs.
Yeah, but that's actually sort of a neat thing you're talking about, because sort of rolls back into what we were talking about when you weren't on the air. Of if you did that, say you played in a campaign and did that, would you have players who would be constantly freaking out, going, oh, that's not part of the fluff, you can't do that? Or is everybody that you play with pretty easygoing and let you sort of cheat things?
We're pretty easygoing. I mean, Tim's the closest thing we have to like a fluff Nazi going on, and honestly, he's pretty laid back about the whole thing.
I've played Netrunner with these guys. They don't take shit serious.
Well, we don't really. I've never seen us get like serious to the point of argumentative about it. We've just gone, well, that doesn't really work, but whatever. Yeah, I mean, our play group is really good at discussing what's good for fluff versus what's good for, you know, just in general, just a good play experience. So.
Right.
So, are you running or you're playing right now? What's that?
James just wants to punch things.
Well, he's playing a troll too, isn't he?
Yeah, he's playing a troll pugilist right now.
Everyone loves that pugilist career.
Pugilist fell collar. And he refuses to sing out his chants, too, and it's kind of annoying.
Yeah, tell him he doesn't get his troll calls unless he actually performs them.
We've been saying that. He needs to just go like, what's happening? Or whatever, you know, for the plus two, you know, hack or whatever.
Your troll calls sound amazingly a lot like Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
That'd be sweet.
Destroy
Hulk. Oh. That's Keith's fell call.
Yeah. No joke.
Oh, yeah.
Keith's terrible Asian.
No, that's when he does his AC/DC impersonation.
Oh, is that his AC/DC? I haven't heard the AC/DC.
Keith, the most fun I think we had with Keith is when we were last year in Lock and Load in Seattle at the Music Experience Museum.
Right.
And, they had a whole AC/DC exhibit, and I got this awesome picture of, and it's up on their, I think it was on their Facebook page.
It's still on their Facebook. It's him playing guitar and everything.
Of him and Crump in front of the backdrop. It was awesome.
Nice.
It was just sort of serendipity working its way into our trip. But anyway.
Very good.
Okay, Stu.
Yeah, I don't know if you guys heard Keith. I don't know if you heard Keith like belly laugh on the last Momcast, but he honestly sounds like an evil genius.
Oh,
like,
we know that.
Yeah, Keith is kind of an evil genius.
Going to curse Superman or something.
I don't know.
I'm just kidding. There's no way Keith would be part of DC continuity.
Screw you.
Why do you say that?
DC continuity's fine.
It gets rebooted here in a couple months, right?
They did that once.
No, I'm with the new movie.
Oh, the Superman continuity?
Every couple months.
Yeah, no, that's true.
Marvel does the same thing, and Colossus is still gay.
Okay. Well,
Carl hates that so bad.
Anyway, Stu, thanks for calling. Do you want to? Is there anything else you want to say?
Yoga pants are great. Thanks, Dustin, for inventing them, because that's what you did.
But
yoga pants.
That's right. Yoga pants are amazing.
Only on certain women.
Take responsibility for it, Dustin. Take responsibility for it.
Maybe later, when I have enough protection.
I'll talk to you both later.
Take it easy, buddy.
See you, man.
Bye.
So that was Stu.
Yep. He will also be running events at War Machine Weekend with me.
Yep.
So be sure to harass him appropriately.
Add him to our contacts.
He likes vanilla vodka and sun-kissed orange soda. You should bring a lot of that.
You know who came up with that little concoction?
What, Ed Burrell?
Ed Burrell. But he had whipped cream vodka and sun-kissed orange soda in it. He says, he claims it tastes like an orange creamsicle.
It did. He brought it to the last War Machine Weekend and gave me some.
That sounds like danger.
It is danger.
Because you were just going to get messed up on it no matter what you want, actually.
It's your fall down drink of War Machine Weekend.
So.
Which I have to be careful this next year. I think I started drinking Thursday and I had to stop Saturday because I drank so much Thursday, Friday. And I couldn't drink anything Saturday at all. I was so burnt out.
Yeah, you got to watch yourself.
Plus, I'm going to be running more games this year than I did last year. Either.
You're going to be working. Blech. Working, son.
Working it.
So,
does it mean like part of my hotel room's paid for since I'm working it?
No, you haven't paid for your hotel room last year.
Shit. We'll just call that good since I'm working this year. I think I stand up here at the store and sell enough stuff for you guys.
I can do that, too.
Yeah, but you were too busy talking to a guy about Pokemans. Carl loves talking about Pokemon.
You know what I love talking about? What's up? Netrunner.
Netrunner is fun. Except Scorched Earth. Fuck that card.
Okay. I'm fine with it.
Now I made Carl sad again. Nope. But in the IKRPG, I think we're pretty excited for the new book to come out. I don't know. What do you think is going to be in the big new book?
I think you're going to... I mean, obviously, you're going to get all the faction-specific stuff. Like, you're going to see... I would hope Scrutator would be in there.
Scrutator.
Because we all want to be Severus deep down. That may not. Well, yeah. You're going to see more specific stuff. So right. You can play those Kador, Signar, Midnight campaigns and you don't feel awkward.
I meant to see Kador Woodsman.
Could be. Yeah. I could easily see that.
Yeah.
We've had a few that's been spoiled just through the other books and that's fine. Horseman is one. So I think that's a generic horse guy.
I really wish we could get the Warlock book sooner.
I think there's probably more mechanics that they have to worry about than because they've got the Warcaster mechanics and they got the Warjacks down. Now you have to integrate another whole rule set. System, but once they get that done, they're pretty much golden after that point.
Right.
And I'm sure that a lot of that is done, but you know, trying to integrate it and make it work with a role-playing game where it's not too overpowered and et cetera, that's going to be a little tougher. So, but
I think we'll see. Let's see what we've talked about this before. We're getting Signar, Kador, Mercenaries, Ord, and who was the other one? What's the other faction? There's four.
Signar, Kador,
Ord. Effectively Mercenaries.
Well, being Ordic is not necessarily a mercenary.
Whatever, but yeah, from translational. It's not correct. They're in the ancient.
Minoth?
No, it's Minoth.
Yeah.
It is Minoth. So yeah, we'll probably get Scrutator.
You think they'll have any more, like, Lele's stuff?
I hope so. I bet it'll be in the Kador section, or at least, here's three pages.
It is now. Yeah. It bounces between the Kador and the Minite section.
They're just eating that country up. I bet we get some more Idrian stuff.
Idrians.
I would really love some Idrian. I'd love some more background on the Idrian.
Well, I think you're going to see Idrian as a race.
Well, yeah.
I think you're going to see more specific races because if you look in the old player book in the, I don't know, I hate to call it the Mark I player book in the 3.5 player book for the player
That's
guide
the best
for IK.
Way to describe it.
Mark I IK. There is a ton of races in there. And not just troll, elf, that kind of thing. There's tons of human races
in there.
There
were six individual Kador subsects.
Yeah, you
that
could
change your stats and change
fucking
your
play
stats.
Skirov if you wanted to.
Right.
And each one of those had their own little quirks, and that's one of the things that I really, really, really hope that they work back in. And I don't know how they would do that if they make it its own race or if it's an extra little bonus you get for playing like it's like even like if you're going to play trolls, okay, I'm going to play trolls or I'm going to play a city troll or I'm going to play a Scarsfell troll right. or I'm going to play this kind of troll. Or if you're going to play
swamp troll,
you're going to play human, but are you going to be Kadoran? Or are you going to be Skirov? Or are you going to be
Umbrian
or whatever? And that would be a really sweet little add-on rule set for everybody.
You know that little world idea you had?
Yeah.
You know what happened to Lael? Vlad took it over. And Vlad and Sorsha declared themselves king and queen of that and broke off from Kador. He said, nope, this is my land again, and screw you all. I'm going home.
And he runs down people on horses, anybody that says different.
Yeah. He pretty much does.
I'm the horse lord, bitch.
I'm the horse lord, bitch. Pop feet and go.
But no, I think they've got a lot of... that's even like a design space that they could use where they could go, okay, well, we've got this race, and now you can... But would they do that? How do you think that would be the best way to work that in? Do you think...
To implement the actual game.
You can use a human, or you can use a race X type thing.
Okay, if they did it where they want to break out the different subcategories of human, with the way they've built character creation now, to alter the stats too much would.
I don't think it'd have to be a stat. It would have to be. It would have to be something.
I bet if they said you, if you're from this area, you have access to these abilities additional on top of the ones your careers offer. You have additional access to maybe these things over here.
So you think you treat it like a career?
Yeah, treat it like a career. In fourth edition, they did it called themes. I think they should treat it just the same way. By picking this quote unquote theme or racial background, you get these extra things tacked onto your character.
Interesting.
So that will allow for more combination. It'll take a lot more testing. And by the way, I really want to be a playtester from this. So if anyone from Privateer is listening, I will do dirty things. Dirty things.
I don't think that gets you into playtesting.
Well, I'll still do dirty things, but I'd rather playtest too.
All right, Simon. You have a challenge.
Yeah.
What can we make Dustin do to be a playtester?
I'll lick the bottom of your shoe.
You know, I've often said that, you know, there were times where I'd be like, I want to play test this, I want to play test that. Because you think it would be really sweet to look behind the curtain. But part of me doesn't. Because every time a new book comes out or something comes out, it feels like Christmas.
Yeah.
And you would lose that. You would lose part of that.
I like this game on such this level that I'm happier helping just in any small way I can to do stuff with it. I'm not even that interested to know what before everyone else. Screw that. That's boring. Because I can't talk about it. I just want to help in any way I can. I'm not working for them.
Well, I know. I just
want to play.
I think it would be cool to be a playtester, but just, yeah, having that knowledge that you're sitting on, and you're like, oh, I can't say anything about it.
But that's why you have your little insular group.
I know.
That you can sit there and talk about. And you can talk to the other playtesters.
I could talk about, I don't want to play Black Clad again. This sucks.
Yeah.
Okay.
Who did that?
No, I don't know. I'm just making up.
I will never play Black
Clad. I'm role-playing
again.
Idiot.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, duh.
Duh. It's totally what this podcast is about, is role-play.
I'm LARPing being a dick. It's tough.
It's tough. Not for you. No.
Just watch Jeff for an hour.
Oh, my God. It's 10 o'clock. It's 2 minutes to 10. Get out now.
So
we do need to start a game up. I've had four people.
I've got some people that want to play on Sunday.
Right.
And I would be willing to run for certain people. There are people I have decided from this time on, actually I decided this a long time ago, like a few weeks ago, that if I ever run a game again,
right.
I am picking the people and nobody's inviting anybody else unless I handpick them.
Because that's what Carl did to me.
I am now 40 years old and I don't need to put up with anybody else's bullshit.
You're only 40?
God damn it. I'm tired of everything. Get the fuck off my lawn.
Never got Gran Torino Carl now.
Yeah.
He's gonna be so racist. He's gonna be so racist to fat Asian now.
I do love Horluck. Horluck's racist and old.
Yeah, he is.
I'm not gonna be racist to fat Asian. I love John.
Right.
John's my buddy.
That's true.
He gives it up for me, so.
He is awesome.
But anyway.
Right.
So it's getting close to 8:30. We told everybody we'd be on the air or taking calls for an hour. We got 2 calls so far, so that's pretty good.
If we put it out like a week before or a day before, it'll get important.
Next time we do it. We might just do a section where we just take a call. Although I want to do a whole show with Robert Shepherd because since he's from Australia, we are going to have to fucking set that up, and we're going to be here probably like 3 in the morning.
That means Carl will be asleep for half. I'll be like, I hate you guys. I want to go to sleep.
If it's early in the morning, I don't care. I can do early in the morning. I can't do midnight anymore.
Because you're?
I'm fucking old.
Didn't you go to the Netrunner tournament not too long ago and then drove back at like 3 or 4 in the morning or something?
No, it didn't last that long.
Oh, wasn't that long.
We drove to Kansas City and I rode with somebody else. We got out of there about 11-ish.
Yeah.
10 to 11 and drove home. And it was like a
two-hour
drive home. Yeah, something like that. It wasn't too bad. But I slept most of the way home.
I didn't
have to drive, so I don't give a shit.
And you griped the next day.
Oh, I was old. Oh, I was tired.
Old man old.
No, that's not cool.
It was kind of funny listening to you go on. Oh, come on.
Wait till you hear me after War Machine Weekend.
I heard you last year.
I sleep like 2 days. 2 days.
Actually, that's right. Last year I didn't hear from you. You were gone. paying bills.
I was doing something.
Sleeping.
Sleeping.
So.
Is there anything we... Oh, you know what we haven't talked about?
What's that, buddy?
We have not talked about the GM screen.
Oh, yeah.
They got a GM screen out.
Yeah, we're going to plug Privateer's stuff here. Let me grab mine. So,
Reach around and grab that screen.
Mm-hmm. Reach behind the screen. So what was this price at, Carl?
$24.99. $24.99 retail, I believe.
So, yeah, $24.99. And here's what you get out of this. A very sturdy, heavy-duty screen with some fun art on it. Some of the art is art that has not been used before. There's an art thing on here where there's a train fight with a pharaoh versus a... That's not Old Rowdy. That's a... What is that, an ironclad?
That's ironclad.
That's an ironclad.
That's a boring old ironclad from a boring old faction. Then you've got Taryn DeRossi and her bitch. Yeah. Whatever that guy's name is.
With the lightning sword. And they're on, too. They get a lot of new art
They get a lot of play.
And now there's the ironclad again, and those two...
No, I don't think it's ironclad. I think that's their jack.
That's their special jack?
Maybe.
It's on the other side there, dude.
It looks an awful lot like an ironclad.
No, that jack's different. Spikes on that one. No, they got
the
spikes.
Yeah, they're both the same Whatever. One. Maybe that's their own jack. Maybe that's a character jack that's coming out one day soon.
There's two new pieces of art. So those of you that were griping about, so much of the art's reused in the IK book, you can STFU. Other than that, let's see. The chart's on the inside. It's heavy duty. It folds open nice. It's four sections.
It is very tough.
It's also wide as hell, so you could probably hide two books.
I dig the fact that this thing is horizontal instead of vertical oriented. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, you can hunker down behind this thing pretty easily.
It's got all the injury stuff.
It's got all the important...
It's got your skills. It's got your player's actions. It's got everything you need, basically.
The skills part is my favorite because that's the stuff that you tend not to remember.
Yep. And then you get other stuff. You don't just get that. For $24, that's a little bit of a ripoff. But they give you a pad of...
I don't know. Have you seen the price of, like GM screens and stuff? It's not cheap anymore.
They're ripoffs, too.
Well, you can make your own, but...
Well, it's called using your book.
But you get
a pad of about, I'd say there's a good 20 very thick, high-quality gloss paper Game Master encounter sheets.
Which I'll never use.
Never use. These we will
use. Wait. Let's, before we get to that, you get both pages of your character sheets.
You get both pages for your character sheets.
But more importantly, the other awesome add-on.
You get two awesome add-ons. So you just simmer down there, Mr. Morgan.
The character sheets are available. You can print those off, and most people will because, I don't know, when I get pads like this, I usually hoard them and don't let anybody use them unless I absolutely have to need them.
Why? That's what these are for.
I don't care.
Yeah, you get about...
You have to be pretty important to get a color character sheet because screw you.
These never erase well, but they're nice. I'll play with them. Then the best two things you get is you get high gloss erasable initiative trackers that you can – and here's how these are going to get used. Character names, you're going to have them write down all their stats, their defense, armor, detection, command. And then when combat starts, just have them roll initiative and just lay them out.
And they're all – the best part about them is they are dry erase compatible.
They have a little spot on the back for notes.
And the best thing is you, as a GM, can hold these behind your screen – and not let your players F with them. So you can deal out damage and jerk them around as best as possible. How many you got there?
You get 10.
You get 10 there. That's more than enough.
If you're playing a game with more than 10 people, I don't...
Well, you're going to use some for your
Cliff.
RP.
War Machine Weekend last year, that game of...
Cliff won't have enough.
Cliff will never have enough. I might donate some to Cliff.
Cliff, less players. Come on.
Cliff, we need to talk to you about some War Machine Weekend stuff, so hit me up on Facebook. And then you get another 10... character health tracker's name, it has a damage grid for Jax, it has your life spirals and your current feat point set. Honestly, if you know your stuff well enough, you could get by with these two little cards and go from there.
Yeah, but you're still going to want your other stats.
Yeah, but
you're going to need your skills and whatnot, because not everybody knows that as well.
I'm just saying, if you did.
But this way, you don't have to keep marking and erasing your character sheets and then tearing a hole in your character sheet because you've erased it so many times. When that jackass in your party casts heal on you again when you don't want him to, you don't have to keep erasing and you don't get mad and rub through your character sheet.
I haven't had anyone cast that spell in my games.
If I had it, I would do it without people wanting it.
Oh, yeah. Like, oh, no, you're about to die. I only had a little bit of a wound.
I only had 2 points. Why are you doing this to me?
Because it's amazing.
Because it's funny.
Because I'm going to make you retarded.
Pain of healing, bitch.
That's right. But no, that's their newest product out that they just didn't give away, like unlike Full Metal Fridays, which is great.
Full Metal, yeah. So I have zero problems paying $25 for all this stuff.
No, that's a good price.
Because one, awesome. GM screens are going to run you, a cheap one's going to run you $10.
Mm-hmm. And I mean cheap. Like,
cheap.
Like three panels, and flimsy, no information.
A more expensive one is probably going to be 20-ish. Mm-hmm. For $25, you get the trackers, the dry erase trackers, and you get the GM screen, which is a good deal. Plus the fact that they're giving you free... all this Full Metal Friday stuff, which, you know, apparently the last batch of it was a lot about alchemy, which is super sweet.
Right.
You get all that stuff, and that's totally worth it.
Right.
So, take that.
Here's what I need for War Machine Weekend.
What do you need?
I need people to send in characters so I don't have to write up all the characters that I had to last year.
What do you want? You want them to send in character information?
No, I don't need character plot. I just need...
Characters.
Makeup characters.
Level what character?
Level zero. Just
level zero characters.
Do them level zero. Put a character sheet together.
Zero XP characters.
Mm-hmm. Make them up whatever combinations of existing character careers, races, stuff.
Gear?
Fine.
Give them gear?
Yeah.
Starting gear?
Mm-hmm. Give them starting gear.
Give them what else?
Don't give them a name and just give them as all the
blank?
Blank.
Race?
Any race, it's fine.
Race, your choice. Careers, your choice. Gear, your choice. Make Dustin's job easier.
Make my job easier. Last year I made 33 characters on my own.
How many did you use? All of them?
All of them. I still have, like, some people gave me them back from last year because they said if we were coming back next year, we want to use these same characters. I'm like, okay.
That's something else I'd like to talk about. I really want to talk about doing a living campaign.
We have to work on this. Now, last three podcasts ago, Carl and I talked about this, and I've been actually doing stuff in my head with it and writing a little bit
down. I've been doing stuff in my head, too, but I've been so busy doing other things, I dropped it.
Apparently, we need to go have lunch or something and sit down and do this.
If everybody is interested in doing a living campaign, I don't think it's an issue with us managing it.
No, it'd be awesome.
But it would be independent of Privateer Press.
Yeah.
Because it just would be. It would be our own thing. It wouldn't, I mean, don't think that what you're doing is going to become official canon other than in our campaign.
Sure.
Okay.
Hey, you live forever in our hearts.
Sure. And it would probably be done in current timeline, storyline, just mm-hmm. because of it's easier that way.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else?
No, I think that's pretty good. We just need to write out how we're going to lay it out.
It's going to be something where we would have some stuff and probably have a handful of people that we trust do adventures.
Yep.
And write them out to where you could download said adventures.
I have an idea for an adventure database that would allow people to send adventures in that we add to the world. So if we had a map, like say you could bring up a website that was our database and it was a map of the existing game world, like the Scorn Empire, Ios, just all that, just one big overview map. And you could drag your mouse over and click on an area. It would bring up all the adventures that we had keyworded that had take place in or have something to do with that area. So say you were running you're running your mercenary game, Carl, and everyone's running around the Crix Isles. You could just click on the Crix Isles, and anyone that's added an adventure, that's wrote an adventure that we've added into the database, you could bring up and go, oh, hey, there's these neat adventures. I think that's a really good idea for an adventure database, and it's not that hard to do.
No.
I've been talking to Cliff about that a little bit.
We could even set it up on a real simple, like, freaking Blogger site to where it's just we set up different tags
mm-hmm.
and then just let people run adventures and then report them in, and then we, like... As far as the living campaign goes, you would say, all right, you've got so much time to report in, and then we take the best of
use it to
manipulate the world and then write the next adventures. Or say, here's what's going on, you know, and give... I think it'd be more interesting to give more... Instead of full-on adventures, and this goes back to sort of how things have changed in the role-playing industry in the world. Because
mm-hmm.
early on, it was all about modules.
Yeah, not anymore.
And then 3rd edition hit, and it was all about plot point structure. Mm-hmm. And, like, here is some interesting tidbits and with some interesting NPCs and some interesting areas, but there's not, like, this is how you tell the story.
Right.
we're getting more back into doing, like, it's more of a combination where there are adventures and there are other stuff. I think if we did that thing where it's like, okay, here's a official adventure, and here's some plot points on top of it so you can work it into your own games and then have them report back and then work that kind of stuff into our overall
arcing story. I'm not interested in writing a railroad adventure.
No, because that's, I mean, those are good for brand new players and also good for, like, conventions, but they're not good for, you know, long-running campaigns. And if you want to take, if you want to participate in something like this, you also don't want it to be where you feel like you're getting, you know, like, oh, this isn't going to work well in our campaign, I don't want to do it. But if it's just a, you know, plot that you can work into a certain area, then it's fine.
I think that's how we'll probably start it up.
So Dustin, get to work. You got a lot of work to do.
Oh my God. All right.
So I think we're going to wrap that up right now. Move on to our suggestions for the week, picks of the week, picks of the last three months, picks of the months.
what do you got?
I don't know. What do you got? I've been reading a lot, so I can do that, or I can, you know.
Well, go ahead, do yours.
I've been drinking beer. I've been reading a lot of books.
Yeah, not working on War Machine weekend.
No, I've been doing that. Shut up. If you had to deal with the hotel bullshit that I've had to deal with, you would.
Carl, you would cry.
I've cried. I've weeped.
Did you weep?
I've weeped a lot.
We all appreciate and love you.
I've been. I usually end my day in the fetal position in the corner of my bedroom crying, and my wife has to coax me back to bed to where I sleep and then wake up the next day realizing I haven't died.
Wow.
And how sad it is.
Oh, dude. So. Carl, tell everyone your favorite beer real quick so we can those people can bring it
I'm
to
drinking,
you.
Right now I'm drinking Hop Slam, Bell's Brewery Hop Slam.
What it's do you like, want people to bring you at War Machine Weekend?
All right, so if you're coming to War Machine Weekend, this is what I will. You can bribe me with good beer from a following breweries that I cannot get in Missouri. Three Floyds out of the Chicago area.
Nice, they're good.
They're awesome. Especially if anybody wants to bring me a bottle of Dark Lord. I might give you a free entry to War Machine Weekend if you can get me a bottle of Dark Lord.
I got
to
make a call to my buddy in Chicago. I get him free at work there.
Surly out of Minnesota. I like their stuff. Beanish brought me some at Gen Con a couple years ago, and it was super sweet. Beanish also brings his own beer, which is also super sweet.
That he makes?
Russian River out of California. Anybody coming from the West Coast, Russian River stuff. Pliny, I'm not going to ask for Pliny the Younger because that's just silly. That's not going to happen. Which, you know, if you know beer, you know that. Pliny the Elder, which they bottle, dig that. Any of their sours, I'll dig that. Now we're getting into beer snobbery now.
You are a beer snob.
That's fine. What else is there? Out of the East Coast, Southeast, Cigar City Brewing. I think it's Hunapoo Imperial Stout. That's another one I dig on. And then there's other stuff. I don't know. Make a list.
Yeah, make a list. Post it.
Bribe me to get into War Machine Weekend for free. A bottle of Dark Lord will get you a ticket to War Machine Weekend.
Are we
going to
do those Chessex dice?
I am working on that. We're not announcing anything yet, just to make sure it happens.
All right.
Shush.
Okay. We'll edit out.
No, I'll leave it in there, but we'll leave it as a teaser, but I'm not going to officially announce anything until I know for sure it's happening.
Is that your pick of the week?
No. My pick of the week, I don't know. I haven't seen any movies. I've read a number of books. I read the whole Right Area Revelation series by Michael Sullivan. It's a fantasy setting, but it's not your typical dark. You like the characters in this book, so it's not your George Martin, Joe Abercrombie type book that I've been reading.
Characters in George Martin books, they just die after.
I know, but these guys are sweet, and it's neat, and it's a good series. I like that, and I've been reading by David Wong. John dies at the end, and then I'm in the middle of the follow up, which is this book is full of spiders, and they're sort of like jackassery. In a book form.
Nice.
With weird shit.
I would have to pick Bioshock Infinite, which is amazing. It's probably one of the best. It's probably some of the best storytelling using world environment that I've come across in a game. It's Portal 2 kind of good for that.
Okay.
1912's America Racism. There's a part where you go through the game and the Chinese people are like...
I've been watching other people play that game, and it is. There is some racist stuff in
but
there.
What they did in this game is they went to the 1912s and looked at what we were doing.
Oh, yeah.
And they're not pulling punches. They're not softening it up.
Pretty hardcore.
They're not throwing it in your face just to be edgy. That's just, this is what it was like.
Yep.
On top of a floating city.
Okay.
Which is amazing.
Let me give you my anti-pick of the week.
Okay, go for it.
Companies that are sort of there, they don't need the help, using Kickstarter.
Oh, like Steve Jackson Games?
Cool Mini or not.
Oh. Yes, tell them about the new Cool Mini thing.
No, I'm not going to say anything. All I'm going to say is go support your local game store. If it is a small company doing a Kickstarter,
like
support
group.
Them. As an example, there was a game called Arena Rex, which is really freaking sweet looking.
The models look amazing.
And I backed it because it's a brand new company. But existing companies don't necessarily need your help. They're just trying to pre-sell stuff and screw over
their
local
stores.
Businesses. So, now, I will say that I don't like the Cool Mini or Not way they're doing business because they screw the retailers, but they do put out good games.
They do.
So wait till they come out and go buy them from your stores.
Right.
Support your local game store.
Okay.
And I will say that I'm saying that as a manager of a
local
game
store.
So
yes,
I am very biased.
Right. My not pick, anti-pick, as you put it, would
or
be...
Or what is this? What does Focus Fury call it?
Turd-burger or something like that.
TB of the week. Turd-burgler.
Turd-burgler of the week. Are they
TB. I don't know. It would be sweet if Beanish would put out a
we could get Beanish
episode.
Yeah. We should do that.
Beanish, if you listen to this or if anybody listens, go egg him to do another episode. I need
awesome.
A good laugh every once in a while.
And
I mean that in the nicest way.
There's a new game coming out on Kickstarter, which doesn't need to be on Kickstarter for Carl's exact griping. Robotech Tactics. I love Robotech. I really do. It was one of my first animes, and you get to play the Valkyries, and they do all three shapes, and the miniatures look really cool, but their system is shit.
Well, have you watched the gameplay video for it?
Yeah.
It's all right.
It's okay.
I'm thankful it's not a straight... I'm thankful it's not a straight conversion of Palladium. It does not look like a straight conversion of Palladium system, which is what I was worried about.
Right. They've had to clean it up because we're in the future now.
It looks all right.
I'm just not real excited for it. And system-wise.
It's one that I would...
But they're still in testing. It could totally surprise me.
Yeah, no, I think the game looks fine. I think that is one that I might pick up when it comes out.
I'm going to pick it up to paint the miniatures.
I don't know, if it gets closer to the end and they've got just, like, so much free crap if you back it, then it might be worth it. But
I'm going to get an airbrush and just go to town.
But, yeah, that is sort of a... Mm-hmm. Robotech has a soft spot in my heart. Now, here's what's going to screw me.
Mm-hmm.
Is my favorite... Robotech series was the third one with the motorcycles.
Nice.
And if they do those, then I'm sunk. I'm just like, I don't give a shit about the things. I'm just going to buy it.
Honey, you're not getting new braces. Or your braces are going to stay the way they are.
Sorry, dear. But
that's awesome.
No. This is my old cantankerous side coming through about Kickstarter.
Right.
But there is really cool games out there.
We'll save that for next time.
Yeah, whatever. I'm done. I'm not talking about it anymore.
Bug him about it War Machine Weekend or when you see Carl. All right, guys. Keep your eye on Facebook and everything like that so you can know when you can call in, and we're going to keep recording.
And if we record within a week, it might be the end of the world.
Oh, my God. It might be.
But we'll see. We'll see if we can make it happen.
All right.
Take
it easy, guys.
Bye.
Bye.